Volume 47, Number 5 of the Friend magazine for May 2017. Contents. Conference is for me. A conference message from the prophet. Conference news. Conference puzzles. Conference notes. Show and tell conference. Stories and features. Missionary shoes. Family night fun. The gecko rescue. Bright idea. Friends with heart. A Heart for Sisters, CTR Story, Cracking the Code, Ella's Worries, Worried or Afraid? Here's Help, Answers from an Apostle, Elder Quentin L. Cook, Matt and Mandy, Stop and Flip, Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, Happy Mother's Day, Fun Stuff, Find It, and Fun Stuff, Miles of Smiles, Church History Figures, The First Bishop, Music, Jesus Church Has Been Restored. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. Awesome. Making the Sacrament Special. Snacks and Crafts. Safe Ground. A Quiet Warning. Friend Junior. For Parents of Little Ones. Hi, Friends. At the Playground. Your Healthy Body. Stories of Jesus. Jesus Taught About Heavenly Father's Love. Coloring page. And That's My Brother. End of contents. Read by Wes Nelson.
Friends by Mail.
Morning tradition. When I started school at age 5, my mom and I started a tradition of morning devotional, where we would read one story out of the friend and one story from the scriptures during breakfast. Now I'm in middle school and enjoy reading the New Era at morning devotional. Laura F., age 11, Texas, USA.
CTR Shields. For my family home evening lesson, I taught a lesson on how to choose a right, and we made CTR Shields. November 2016. Evan H., age 6, Texas, USA.
Friend First. I love reading The Friend and try to get to be the first one in my family to read it. Everyone should read it. Kate O., age 12, California, USA.
Pesos for Heavenly Father. I liked Pesos for Heavenly Father, April 2016, because the grandma uses the last of her money for tithing, even though she needs food. I learned that if you have faith in Heavenly Father and keep the commandments, He will bless you. Ashlyn P., age 8, Dhaka, Bangladesh.
Dear Friends, do you ever worry? Some worrying is a normal part of life. But what if you can't stop worrying about things? On page 22, Ella gets help for dealing with her anxious thoughts. You can find other tips from us on pages 24 through 25. One thing you don't have to worry about is how much Heavenly Father and Jesus love you. And we love you too. You are great. The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail. Read by Chloe Patello, Gabriel and Maya Reinwand, Scott Moore, and Ethan Nelson.
A Conference Message from the Prophet. Book of Mormon Power by President Thomas S. Monson. If you are not reading the Book of Mormon each day, please do so. I speak about the power of the Book of Mormon and the critical or very important need we have to study, ponder, and apply its teachings in our lives. What will protect us from the sin and evil in the world today? A strong testimony of Jesus Christ and His gospel will help see us through to safety. A challenge and a promise. I implore or call on or ask all of us to prayerfully study and ponder the Book of Mormon each day. As we do, we will be able to hear the voice of the Spirit, resist temptation, overcome doubt and fear, and receive heaven's help in our lives. I so testify with all my heart. Adapted from The Power of the Book of Mormon, from the April 2017 General Conference. End of A Conference Message from the Prophet Book of Mormon Power by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by Van Farnworth.
Conference news. More temples. President Monson announced 5 new temples. Fill in the blanks to find out where they are. Check your answers below. Temple math. 155 temples now open, plus 25 temples already announced or under construction, plus 5 temples announced in conference. What's the total when all are finished? Bonus question. Which city will soon have 2 temples? Primary news. Sister Jean B. Bingham was released as the first counselor in the primary general presidency. That's because she was sustained as the New Release Society general president. Sister Christina B. Franco is the new second counselor in the primary general presidency. She was born in Argentina and is on a mission there with her husband until July. Conference quotes. Christ's love will help us become a little kinder, more forgiving, and more caring. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the first presidency. We are all called to be disciples of our Savior. Elder Robert D. Hales of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. As children keep their promises, they feel the Spirit in their lives. Sister Joy D. Jones, Primary General President. End of conference news. Read by Miles McClellan.
Help from the Holy Ghost. Elder Quinton L. Cook was nervous when he was called to be a general authority. He didn't know if he would be able to do everything he needed to. Then Elder Neil A. Maxwell, one of the apostles at the time, told Elder Cook something that helped him feel better. Elder Maxwell reminded him that the most important thing was knowing how to bear his testimony of the Savior. This would help Elder Cook be ready to lead and serve in the church. When Elder Cook heard this, he felt peaceful inside. He thought about how much he loved the Savior and the many times he had been able to share his testimony. He was excited to keep sharing his testimony of the Savior with the world. He wasn't afraid anymore. The Holy Ghost had helped him feel comfort instead of fear. Years later, the Holy Ghost comforted Elder Cook when he was called to be an apostle. The Holy Ghost reminded him that he should have faith and not fear. Then Elder Cook felt peace and comfort and strength to be an apostle and serve Heavenly Father. Adapted from Live by Faith and Not by Fear, Ensign, November 2007, page 70. End of the story, Help from the Holy Ghost, read by Asher Hawkins.
Building a Temple. Join us each month to see how the Payson, Utah Temple was built by Amy Jane Levitt. The best wood and stone are shipped to temple sites from all over the world. Then, craftsmen and artists are hired to do the stone, tile, and woodwork inside the temple. They use lathes, saws, chisels, sanders, planers, nail guns, drills, trowels, mixers, and all kinds of other equipment. The final product is a work of art. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or paper heart, step 1, fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork. Step 2, send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. Step 3, we might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. Step 4, you must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a young boy in pajamas explains to his disapproving dad why his bed is completely covered with stuffed animals.
But Dad, I really did make my bed. All of my stuffed animals are exactly where they're supposed to be.
End of Building a Temple, read by Matthew Moore and Wes Nelson.
Conference puzzles, help from the Holy Ghost. Fill in the blanks and then find those words in the word search. For a fun conference crossword puzzle, go to page 4. Draw a line to finish the names of the primary songs we heard in conference. End of conference puzzles, read by Shannon Nelson.
Conference notes, family history and you. President Eyring talked about how family history is for everyone. he said that many youth are learning about their family history and doing temple work. This helps them have strong testimonies of the plan of salvation. It helps them feel the Spirit and resist temptations. Many are bringing family names to do baptisms in the temple. Now their parents need to catch up. Write down what this teaches you. Learning about Jesus. Earlier this year, President Nelson asked the youth of the church to spend time studying scriptures about what Jesus said and did. He said he learned more about Jesus when he read and underlined every verse about Jesus Christ listed in the topical guide. When he finished, he was excited and told his wife, "I'm a different man." Write down what this teaches you.
Blessings from tithing. When Elder Cordon was a child, his father's business went bankrupt, and they had very little money. One day, Elder Cordon heard his parents talking about whether they should pay tithing or buy food. They decided to have faith and pay tithing. The next day, someone offered to pay his dad for work. They were always blessed with food on their table. Elder Cordon testified that we are blessed when we obey. Write down what this teaches you. Keeping our promises. Sister Jones told the story of 5-year-old Lizzie and her big brother Kevin. Kevin's dad asked him if he would promise not to tease Lizzie for one day. Kevin agreed. He kept his promise. Then his mom asked him to try not teasing Lizzie for 2 days. He kept his promise again. Sister Jones said that when we keep our promises, we are learning to make and keep sacred covenants. Write down what this teaches you. End of conference notes, read by Eden Reinwand and Scott Moore.
Show and Tell Conference. I love General Conference so much. It's very interesting. I learned from Elder Cordon's talk that the language of the gospel should be preserved in our home. Chukwu Emeka O, age 12, Abia State, Nigeria.
I enjoyed listening to Elder Neil L. Anderson because he spoke about overcoming the world. He said that if we try to be like Jesus and follow his example, we can be protected. I love watching General Conference because you can learn a lot and share the messages with others. Nevea L., age 9, South Auckland, New Zealand.
The happiest part of conference is that I get to be with my family and hear from the prophet. I feel the Spirit, and it feels like home. Mateo R., age 12, Colombia.
Twin sister Leia and Allison C., age 6, Utah, USA, like the talk by Elder Costa about praying for help. Sometimes school is hard for us, especially for Leia, because she was born with Down syndrome, Allison said. When she's having a hard time in our class, I know I can say a silent prayer, asking Heavenly Father to help her understand. I know He helps and loves both of us.
I was touched by President Uchtdorf's talk about overcoming fear. I learned that fear can have a powerful influence on our actions and that we should not use fear to motivate others. I thank my Heavenly Father that I was born into a Christian family and can be a member of the church. Sarah T., age 11, Ile-de-France, France.
Lydia V., age 3, Washington, USA, sustained the prophet while watching conference on the computer.
While listening to conference, Jake and Luke B., ages 9 and 6, Basel-Stadt, Switzerland, built a temple out of magnets.
Ava B., age 10, Mexico, loves when they sing primary songs like Teach Me to Walk in the Light during conference. The music is the part that makes her happiest.
Jacob and Reuben H., ages 12 and 10, Surrey, England, got to watch part of General Conference in the conference center. Reuben was excited to see the prophet and apostles on the stand. When they watch conference at home, Jacob puts down his conference activities when the prophet speaks so he can just watch and listen.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Cassie L., age 8, California, USA. Pearl L., age 11, Alberta, Canada. Julia M., age 8, Washington, D.C., USA.
End of Show and Tell Conference.
Missionary Shoes by Jamie Armstrong, based on a true story. What happened to Uncle Jason's shiny shoes? I hope they call me on a mission when I have grown a foot or two. Children's Songbook, page 169. Dallin wiggled with excitement on Grandma Brown's leather couch. The suspense was almost more than he could stand.
Hurry, Uncle Jason, hurry!
He shouted. Uncle Jason was about to read his mission call. The whole family was there to watch him open his letter. Jason carefully opened the envelope and silently read the letter. His eyes lit up.
I'm going to Argentina,
he yelled. A few months later, it was time for Uncle Jason to go to the missionary training center. Dallin watched Uncle Jason pack his suitcase with white shirts, dark pants, ties, and scriptures. Then he put in a pair of shiny new shoes.
Wow,
said Dallin.
Can I try those on?
Sure, go ahead,
said Uncle Jason. Dallin slipped his feet into the big brown shoes and tromped around the room. He imagined himself as a missionary. He stood up a little taller.
When I go on a mission, I want a pair of shoes just like yours. They're so shiny, and they make me look cool.
Uncle Jason grinned.
They sure do.
At the MTC, Uncle Jason learned how to teach people in Spanish. Sometimes, Dallin got letters written just to him. In one letter, Dallin learned that Jason was finally flying to Argentina. Month after month passed. Dallin missed Uncle Jason a lot, but it was fun to read his stories about teaching people the gospel. One week, Uncle Jason wrote,
This week was the greatest. I got to baptize Carlos and his whole family. They have strong testimonies and are happy to be members of the church.
One day, Dallin decided to run over to Grandma's house to see if she had a new letter from Uncle Jason. When he walked through the door, he saw a big smile on Grandma's face.
Guess what came in the mail today?
She said. She held up a white envelope with red and blue stripes.
Another letter!
Dallin opened the envelope and began reading.
Today, my companion and I walked for 4 hours trying to find the home of a man we met in the market. He wanted to learn about the plan of salvation. When we finally found his house, he wasn't there. We'll try again tomorrow. I want to find him before I come home next week.
Next week?
Dallin said, looking up at Grandma.
Uncle Jason comes home from his mission next week?
I can hardly believe it myself,
said Grandma. When the day finally came, Dallin went to the airport with his family. He squeezed Grandma's hand as they waited for Jason. Soon, he saw several missionaries with name tags walking toward them.
There he is!
Dallin shouted. Uncle Jason looked older and taller than Dallin remembered. His shirt wasn't as wide as it used to be, and his shoes were faded and scuffed.
His missionary shoes are ruined,
Dallin thought. Uncle Jason hugged Grandma, then he bent down and hugged Dallin.
You've gotten so big. Did you miss me?
Yes!
He squeezed Uncle Jason tight. On the ride home, Dallin stared down at Uncle Jason's worn-out shoes. He listened to him tell about his mission. He had walked miles and miles on dusty roads searching for people to teach. He had spent hours and hours planting gardens and doing other kinds of service. He had worked hard serving Heavenly Father and the people in Argentina.
No wonder his shoes were so worn out,
Dallin thought. After a long time, Dallin finally spoke.
Uncle Jason, when I come home from my mission, I hope my shoes look just like yours.
Sidebar. I have been sharing the gospel with a friend at school who doesn't know about Jesus. Now she asks me lots of questions. I love being a missionary. Presley M., age 8, North Carolina, USA.
End of the story, Missionary Shoes, read by Miles McClellan, Van Johansen, Charlene Stewart, Amelie Strongen, and Natalie Moore.
Family Night Fun. Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Riding missionaries. Read Missionary Shoes on page 8. Missionaries love getting letters. You could write to family, friends, or ward members. Get coloring supplies and a paper for each person and sit in a circle. Everyone draw something on your paper. Then pass it to the right. Add to the drawing and keep passing until your masterpieces are complete. Sign the drawings and send them to your missionaries. You can also pass a letter around and have everyone add a line. What made you laugh this week? What made you grateful? Did you feel the spirit this week? What did you learn? What questions do you have for your missionary? Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. Care Package Cookies. These cookies are great for shipping. The honey keeps them soft. Once they've cooled completely, put them in a plastic bag to keep them fresh. Pack a box with crumpled newspaper to keep the cookies safe. Here is the recipe. 1/2 cup shortening or butter, 1 cup of honey, 2 eggs, 2 cups flour, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 2 cups old-fashioned oats, 1 cup raisins, nuts, or chocolate chips, optional. 1. Mix the shortening and honey, then mix in the eggs. 2. Stir in flour, baking soda, cinnamon, and salt. Add the oats and nuts, raisins, or chocolate, if using. 3. Drop by teaspoons on a cookie sheet. The dough can be quite soft and sticky. Bake at 375 degrees Fahrenheit, what that's 190 degrees centigrade, for 8 to 10 minutes. Patience. Being patient while you wait for someone you love to come home can be hard. Here's some things that can help. Focus on learning a new skill. Do something fun with your family and friends. Send a care package. Remember, they are missing you too. What else can you do to help them? Bonus treat. Make smoothies. Blend together 1 frozen banana, 1 cup orange juice, and 1 cup vanilla yogurt. Serve immediately. Try adding berries or using other yogurt flavors. More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Idea 1. Can you crack the code? Read the story and fill in the CTR challenge card together. What challenge can you do this week? Idea 2. Look at conference notes to read what our leaders taught us in general conference. Then read Safe Ground. What's one thing you learned in conference that can help keep you safe and happy? Idea 3. Read Ella's Worries, and then read some of the ideas on Worried or Afraid? Here's help. What can you try in your family when someone's worried or afraid? End of the section, Family Night Fun. Read by Dwayne Case.
The Gecko Rescue. Mom loved her beanbag gecko, but something was wrong. By Linda Pratt, based on a true story. Mother Dear, I Love You So. Children's Songbook, page 206. Andrea peeked into her parents' room. She smiled when she saw the blue beanbag gecko on Mom's pillow. Andrea came in to look at it closer. Mom brought it home from Hawaii to remind her of the lizard she and Dad saw on vacation. Sometimes she let Andrea and her younger sister Stacy play with it. Andrea liked how its bright beaded eyes shone in the light and how its shiny blue skin slipped through her hands. But now something was wrong. Andrea could see a small rip in the gecko's side. Little pebbles of filling were falling out onto the pillowcase. Oh, no! Mom would be so sad when she saw what happened. What could Andrea do? Andrea spotted Mom's sewing basket under the table in the corner.
That's it,
she thought. Mom had been teaching her to sew. Could she stitch up the gecko all by herself? She searched through Mom's sewing basket for a needle and some blue thread. Then she gently scooped up the torn gecko and cradled it so no more tiny pebbles would fall out. After a few tries, she threaded the needle and carefully started stitching the opening back together. Andrea's fingers fumbled with the tiny needle and the thread. It seemed to tangle with every stitch. Finally, she made the last stitch and tied a knot. Andrea frowned. Her big, messy stitches made it easy to tell where the tear had been, but at least no more pebbles were falling out. Andrea found Mom weeding in the garden. She held the gecko out to her.
"I found this on your bed with the hole in it. I tried to fix it,"
she said.
"It isn't very good,"
she added softly.
"Oh?"
Mom put her shovel on the ground and wiped her hands on the bandana in her pocket. Then she gently took the stuffed gecko from Andrea's hands. She examined the stitching, looked from the gecko to Andrea, and back to the gecko again.
"You did this all by yourself?"
Mom sounded surprised.
"Yes."
Andrea traced a circle in the grass with her big toe.
"I know you like to look at it to remember your vacation."
Mom grinned.
"Well, now I can look at it and remember two things, our fun vacation, and what a thoughtful daughter I have."
Andrea looked up at Mom.
"It doesn't look the same,"
she said.
"No, it doesn't,"
Mom said. Andrea's shoulders slumped.
"I knew it,"
she thought. But then Mom folded her into a great big hug.
"It's better."
Andrea's eyes widened.
"Really?"
"Really. Thanks for rescuing my gecko."
She squeezed Andrea tight. Andrea grinned as she hugged Mom back.
"Can I help weed the garden?"
Andrea asked.
"You bet. But I have to put the gecko back first."
"I'll do it."
Andrea carefully carried the gecko inside and set it on Mom's pillow. She patted its shiny head.
"Glad I could help you out."
Then she ran outside to help Mom rescue the garden too.
End of the story, The Gecko Rescue. Read by Jane Wise, Margot Patello, and Rena Nelson.
Fun stuff. Happy Mother's Day. Here's a swirly, twirly, curly craft to make for Mother's Day. Be sure to get an adult's help. Only, maybe not from Mom if you want it to be a surprise. Cut a 2-inch, 5-centimeter strip of colored paper lengthwise. This will be the color of your flower. Cut thin slits to make a fringe. Curl each piece of fringe into tight curls around a toothpick. This will take a while. On the short side of a piece of green paper, cut a 3-inch, 8-centimeter strip. Tightly roll the strip of paper lengthwise to make the stem. Tape down the edge. Tape the curly fringe at the top. Wrap the fringe around the stem in a spiral. Tape down the end, then add leaves if you want. End of Fun Stuff. Happy Mother's Day. Read by Maya Reinwand.
Friends with Heart. A Heart for Sisters.
Hi, my name is Sophie. I have a little sister named Lainey and a baby sister named Josie. But my friends, my mom, and the girls on my soccer team are my sisters too, because we're all children of God. We love to bake. My friends and I love to bake. We took a cake-making class together. My favorite frosting is orange, and my favorite cake flavor is strawberry. Showing we care. My friend's father and little sister died in a car crash. Their dog died too. My friends and I wanted to show we cared. With our moms, we made cookies, cupcakes, cinnamon rolls, and brownies. We sold them and gave what we earned to help my friend's family pay medical bills. A new sister. Before my baby sister was born, my mom had to stay in bed until the baby came. So we helped Mom every day. Dad, Lainey, my brother, Willie, and I did all the housework. We were excited when Josie was born. Nana's Music. We call my grandma Nana. She is teaching Lainey and me about rhythm and beat. Nana teaches us piano, too. I like to play church songs. My favorite is When He Comes Again. Nana is my sister in God's family, too.
Sophie's Ideas for Showing Love.
Remember, it's about others, not you. Listen, try to understand. Keep things clean like the room you share with your sister.
Send us a heart. How do you follow Jesus? By showing love. Send us a heart with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39.
End of the article, Friends with Heart, read by Chloe Patello and Taya Moore.
CTR Story, Cracking the Code, by Jenny Karchner, based on a true story. What did the secret message mean? Ye have entered into a covenant with him, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments. Mosiah chapter 18, verse 10. When Darren climbed onto the top bunk, he found a note on his pillow.
CK24-7.
He slid down and showed it to his older brother, Byron.
I got the same thing,
Byron said.
What does it mean?
They asked Mom if she knew anything about it. She said. Then she smiled. Darren knew she was up to something.
I bet you'll get some answers during family home evening tomorrow.
On the way home from school the next day, Darren and Byron tried to guess what CK stood for. Candy kangaroos? Curious koalas? Crafty kings? Mom just smiled when they asked at dinner. When it was finally time for family night, Darren was ready for some answers. But first, Mom read a story from the friend about a boy who helped take care of his grandma. The boy didn't realize it, but by showing Christ-like love, he was keeping his baptismal covenants.
We keep our covenants every day when we show love and take care of each other the way Jesus would,
Mom said.
Hey, covenant starts with C,
said Darren.
And keep starts with K, so maybe CK is covenant keepers?
Said Byron.
Yeah, and the 24-7 could mean all day, every day.
Darren shouted.
We cracked the code!
Mom high-fived Darren and Byron.
Good job, guys. But the lesson's not over yet. I need to tell you boys that I've been spying on you.
What do you mean?
Darren asked as he watched Mom pull out a piece of paper. He could see different notes for each day of the week.
Well, I decided to write down the times I spied you keeping your covenants this week. And here's what I saw. Monday. Your friend asked if you wanted to watch a violent movie, but you suggested a better movie instead. You were obedient. Tuesday. Darren's teacher was grouchy, but you were still kind to her. She was so impressed she called and told me about it. You were forgiving. Wednesday. Heidi came home from college for a few days. She was sad because one of her classmates died. You two brought her tissues and kept her company. You showed compassion. Thursday. Byron used a bad word and wished he hadn't, but you apologized and said you would do better. You repented. Friday. When your older brothers came to visit and teased you, I saw you guys start to get angry. But then, instead of fighting with them, you laughed it off. You showed self-control. Saturday. When Mr. Gomez offered to pay you for playing with his grandkids, you two said you were happy to help for free. You served. Sunday. You both sat quietly as you took the sacrament to renew your baptismal covenants. You were reverent, and you remembered how important the sacrament is.
Mom said. As Mom read the list, Darren felt happy and warm inside. He knew it was the Holy Ghost telling him that those were good choices to make. He wanted to be a covenant keeper by following Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The author lives in Arizona, USA. Print cards at ctr2017.lds.org. CTR Challenge. I will remember my baptismal covenant and listen to the Holy Ghost, my gospel standards.
Read Mosiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 11, and think of who you can do something nice for, like Jesus would. Read the sacrament prayers in Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 77 and 79, and underline what you promised to do. Ask a parent or primary teacher how baptism has blessed their life. I challenge myself to.
End of the story. Cracking the Code, read by Wes Nelson and Miles, Daniel, and Kara McClellan.
Fun stuff.
Find it!
What does your family love to do? This family decided to act out a favorite scripture story together. Can you find the hidden objects? A ring, an envelope, a flashlight, a cup, a thumbtack, an ice cream cone, a paintbrush, a purse, a pan, binoculars, a cookie, banana, fudge bar, ruler, and a golf club. End of Fun Stuff, Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Ella's Worries by Elizabeth Pinborough, based on a true story. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Isaiah 41:13. Ella didn't like bedtime at all. When the lights went out, her imagination came alive. And the thing was, she couldn't stop it. Ella tried to figure out what was making the shadow on her wall. Then she heard a creaking sound. She froze with fear.
What if something's under my bed?
Ella rolled over so she couldn't see the wall.
Maybe if I stay really still, nothing will bother me,
she told herself. Mom and Dad were just down the hall, but she didn't want to wake them up. Pulling her fuzzy blue blanket up around her face, Ella said a prayer to Heavenly Father, but the scary thoughts didn't go away. Ella's muscles felt tight and her stomach hurt.
Am I getting sick?
She worried. The next day, Ella couldn't keep her mind on her reading book. She wasn't even excited when Miss Lopez showed a video about dinosaur fossils. What if she really was sick? What if she missed the test tomorrow? Her list of worries just got bigger and bigger. At recess, an easy soccer pass rolled right by her.
Hey, Ella!
Her friend Porter yelled.
What are you dreaming about?
Ella felt her face get hot. She wanted to yell back at Porter. That night after Mom tucked her in bed, Ella lay awake with her eyes wide open. She tried thinking happy thoughts. She prayed again. She even sang a primary song. It helped for a minute, but then the scary thoughts came back.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe Heavenly Father isn't answering my prayers because I've done something wrong.
The next morning, Ella wandered into the kitchen, rubbing sleep out of her eyes.
Good morning,
Dad said as he stacked banana pancakes on Ella's plate. Ella cut a bite of pancake and pushed it around in the syrup.
Are you feeling okay?
Ella didn't answer. She just stared at her uneaten pancakes. Dad patted her shoulder.
You can talk to me about anything. I'll listen no matter what.
Ella felt a tear roll down her cheek.
Dad, I have really scary thoughts, and I can't make them go away. I pray really hard, but it doesn't feel like Heavenly Father answers. The scary thoughts don't go away.
Dad hugged Ella tight.
Maybe Heavenly Father answered your prayer by helping you talk to me.
Ella nodded and rubbed her eyes.
And about your scary thoughts, it sounds like your brain is having a hard time calming down after you have a stressful thought. That's called anxiety. Mom started having trouble with it when she was your age, too.
Ella let out a deep breath. She didn't know anyone else felt like she did, but she was still a little worried.
Does it happen because I'm doing something wrong?
No, it's not your fault at all. A lot of people feel anxiety.
He sat down next to Ella.
But we can definitely help you feel better.
How?
Ella asked.
Well, you already took the first step, talking to me.
How else?
Ella wanted to know.
Maybe you can try some of the things that helped Mom. We can talk to your doctor about it, too. I know one thing for sure. Heavenly Father loves you and cares about how you feel. Let's pray to him to help us know what else we can do.
After they prayed, Ella smiled.
Eat up,
Dad said as Ella took a bite of buttery, syrup-covered pancake. She felt peaceful, knowing that Heavenly Father loved her, and that Dad and Mom could help, too. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Help with worries. Do any of these sentences describe how you feel sometimes? Turn the page for some ideas for dealing with your worries. I worry a lot, almost every day. I worry about a lot of different things. I have a hard time sleeping at night. I feel tired or grumpy when I'm awake. It's hard to focus or pay attention. End of the story, Ella's Worries. read by Eden Reinwand, Margot Patello, Ben Cummins, Asher Hawkins, and Wes Nelson.
Worried or afraid? Here's help. Here are some tips from your friends at The Friend. Just Imagine by Larry Hiller. After my family hiked to the top of a cliff, at night I couldn't stop thinking about falling off. Then I decided to use my imagination to change the ending. I imagined myself spreading my arms and flying. It was fun. The scary thoughts stopped, and I went to sleep without worry. Larry Hiller, writer of Matt and Mandy.
Something fun. Instead of sitting and worrying, I try to focus on something else. You can go run, walk, ride a bike, or do anything else you enjoy. That can help you calm down and see that things aren't as scary as you think. Eric Murdoch, writer.
Happy snack. I used to stress out about schoolwork. My mom realized that when I was hungry, it was hard for me to concentrate. Having a healthy snack before starting my homework helped. My family also had a house rule: no worrying after 10 p.m. Things always seem a lot better after a good night's rest. Bethany Bartholomew, writer.
Help for shyness. It was hard for me to make friends. Then my cousin taught me to think of the word help. H is for hobbies. E is for education. L is for what you like. And P is for plans. I could talk to anyone about hobbies, school, what we like to do, and what we were planning to do. That helped me so much that I grew up to be a journalist who interviews lots of people. Linda Davies, video producer.
Make it funny. Once I got a skin condition that gave me little bumps on my neck, and I was afraid people would ask me about them. Then my parents helped me think of funny things I could do, like saying, "Look, there's an alien!" and then running away. I never used those ideas, but they made me laugh and I felt better. Laughing is the best. Marisa Dennis, writer.
1, 2, 3. One night when I couldn't sleep, my dad sang, "Count your blessings." Then I thought of my blessings until I fell asleep. Some nights I still sing this song in my head, or when my mind is really noisy, I count backward by threes from 300. When I think unkind thoughts about myself, I remind myself that I'm a good person and that Heavenly Father and my family love me. Lori Fuller, copy editor.
Not the only one. When I felt worried or scared, I prayed or sang a song called "You'll Never Walk Alone." Everyone has fears and worries. Some worries are just part of being a certain age. But if you're worrying all the time, you can ask a parent, counselor, or doctor for help. Most of all, don't forget to pray to Heavenly Father. He loves you and understands the way you feel. Jan Pinborough, managing editor.
Okay to make mistakes. I used to be afraid to try new things in front of people because I might mess up. I wondered what others thought about me. Then I realized, I don't know what they're thinking. I'm not a mind reader. And it really only matters what God thinks of me. He sent me here to learn, and He loves me no matter what. Now when I mess up, I think, okay, let's learn from this and move on. Marissa Whittison, Assistant Managing Editor.
Breathe and write. When my parents were divorcing, I poured out my feelings in a journal. Sometimes I also imagined I was writing to help other kids deal with divorce. When I played in piano competitions, I would get really nervous. I breathed slowly through my nose, pretending my breath was the sound of the ocean. I imagined playing my piece well. Then I played it. Charlotte Larsabal, writer. End of the article, Worried or Afraid? Read by Dave Shaw, Ben Cummins, Shauna Thompson, Charlene Stewart, Kate Strongen, Natalie Moore, Kristen Hawkins, and Rena Nelson.
Answers from an Apostle. Why do we need the gift of the Holy Ghost? By Elder Quentin L. Cook of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. As part of Heavenly Father's plan of happiness, He has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost warns us so we can stay safe from danger. He comforts us and leads us through challenges. The Holy Ghost helps us avoid temptations and helps us stay clean from sin. We need to follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost to travel safely through life. From Shipshape and Bristol Fashion, be temple-worthy in good times and bad times. Ensign, November 2015, pages 39 through 42. End of the article, Answers from an Apostle, read by Wes Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. Not long ago, Franco said he would like to come to church with Matt sometime. While Matt and Franco sit on Franco's porch, Matt decides to invite Franco to church.
Do you want to come to church with me on Sunday?
Franco responds.
Sure, but I need to check with my dad.
He'll say yes, won't he?
I hope so.
Inside the kitchen, Franco's dad is cooking pozole. He says,
Lunch is almost ready. Want to join us, Matt?
Smells good. Let me call and ask my mom.
Speaking of asking, Matt invited me to go to church with him next Sunday. Can I go?
I don't know. Let me think about it.
After talking to his mom on the phone, Matt says,
Mom says okay.
Good. We're having pozole, my favorite.
At dinner time, Matt takes a bite of pozole. Upon seeing the surprise and sweat on Matt's face, Franco's dad says,
You might find it a little spicy at first, Matt.
To be continued. End of Matt and Mandy.
Four older kids. What can you catch but not throw? See page 39. Think about it. Love is making space in your life for someone else. Sister Neil F. Marriott. Dear Journal, what was the best birthday you ever had? Who was there? What did you do? If you had a photo of that day, add it to your journal or draw it. My haiku. When I go to church, I can feel the Spirit strong and I feel His love. Hannah S., age 8, Pennsylvania, USA. Send us your haiku. See page 39. Family Hunt. Try indexing. This means typing what old records say so people can search for their ancestors online. Have a parent help you download the program or visit a family history center to do it. Quick quiz. Which of these Book of Mormon prophets had the vision of the Tree of Life? Messiah, Alma, Lehi, or Moroni? See page 39. It gives me a good feeling to work on my family history. I'm learning the names of lots of my ancestors and learning to upload their photos, too. Someday, when I meet them in heaven, I'll already know them. Aiden A., age 10, Utah, USA. End of the article, Four Older Kids, read by Enzo Patello.
Awesome! Robert was amazed when he learned where the priesthood came from. By Jane McBride, based on a true story. They who receive this priesthood receive me, saith the Lord. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 35. Robert put on his first ever suit. He went to the bathroom and looked in the mirror. He adjusted his tie, made sure his white shirt was tucked in right. He went to find Mom.
Do I look okay?
He asked.
You look very grown up,
Mom said. Her voice did that thing it always did before she started to cry, like she'd just swallowed a spoonful of peanut butter.
Oh, Mom, don't cry.
Robert patted Mom awkwardly on the shoulder. Mom wiped her eyes.
I just can't believe you're old enough to receive the priesthood.
Ready?
Dad called.
We don't want to be late.
Robert was so excited he could hardly sit still in the car, but he sat reverently during the sacrament. He watched the deacons pass the trays of bread and water.
Next week, that'll be me,
he thought. Robert had done a lot to prepare for today. He'd read in his scriptures about the priesthood, especially section 20 of the Doctrine and Covenants. On Monday, Mom and Dad gave a special family home evening about the priesthood, and last week, the bishop had interviewed him to make sure he was worthy and ready to receive the priesthood. He knew he was ready, but he was still a little nervous. After the meeting, Robert, Mom, and Dad went to the bishop's office. Robert sat in a chair in the middle. He took a deep breath as Dad and the other priesthood holders gathered around him. Their hands felt heavy and warm on top of his head. He closed his eyes. Dad started out with Robert's full name. Usually, Dad only used Robert's middle name when he was in trouble, but Robert knew this time it was special. He listened carefully as Dad conferred on him the Aaronic priesthood and ordained him to the office of deacon. He said Robert would be blessed if he honored the priesthood and kept his covenants. Afterward, Robert shook hands with everyone and gave Mom and Dad a hug. Mom was crying again, but Robert didn't really mind.
"Holding the priesthood is a sacred privilege,"
Dad said as they left the bishop's office.
"Do you know how we have the Aaronic priesthood today?"
"Joseph Smith got it from John the Baptist."
"Yes, and do you know who sent John the Baptist to Joseph Smith?"
Robert frowned.
"I'm not sure."
"He was sent by Peter, James, and John, and they received their priesthood authority from Jesus Christ."
"Wait, so it's like I got the priesthood from Jesus?"
Robert asked.
"That's right."
Robert's eyes widened. It was hard to find a word special enough to say how he felt.
"That's so awesome."
"It really is awesome,"
Dad said. He pulled something out of his pocket.
"You can keep this with you to always remind you that the priesthood is Jesus Christ's power."
He handed Robert a small picture of Jesus. Robert stared down at it. Suddenly, he felt very small.
"Jesus Christ's power? That's a big responsibility."
"But you know what that means? Heavenly Father and Jesus love and trust you enough to give you their power. They know you can honor the priesthood."
"But how do I honor it?"
Mom smiled.
"By serving others and doing your best to follow Jesus."
Dad pulled Robert into a hug.
"We're so proud of you."
Robert felt like the Holy Ghost was giving him a hug, too. He smiled as he tucked the picture of Jesus in his wallet. He would always carry it with him so he could remember to honor the priesthood.
Sidebar. It is a sacred trust to bear the priesthood, which is the mighty power and authority of God. President Russell M. Nelson, President of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles.
End of the story, Awesome. Read by Scott Christopher, Matthew and Natalie Moore, and Ben Cummins.
Making the Sacrament Special. The sacrament is the most important part of every week. When you repent and take the sacrament, you are made clean from your sins. Fill in the missing words of the sacrament prayer for the bread. Then cut out the colored card and keep it in your scriptures to help make the sacrament special to you every Sunday. Bonus. What's different between the prayers for the bread and water? Hint, see Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verses 77 and 79. How can I make the sacrament special? Listen to the sacrament prayers. You can read them in Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verses 76 through 79. Think about Jesus. Look at pictures of him and remember stories from his life. Think about the good choices you made this week. How did you follow Jesus? Read the words of sacrament hymns. Pray to Heavenly Father. Ask him to forgive you for any wrong things you've done. Ask him for help to do better. Read Mosiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 10 to learn about the covenants we make at baptism. What do you promise Heavenly Father? What does he promise you? End of the article, Making the Sacrament Special. Read by Salem Tullis.
Snacks and crafts. Cake pops. You can make a bouquet of cake pops for your mom or grandma or someone else you love for Mother's Day. Be sure to get an adult's help. You will need cake of your choice, already baked, frosting of your choice, melted chocolate, white, milk, or dark, craft sticks or skewers. Step 1. Break the cake into small crumbs in a big bowl. Step 2. Add a cup of frosting and mix it into the cake with your clean fingers until the cake is sticky but still slightly crumbly. Step 3. Roll 3 tablespoons of the mixture into a ball and set it on a plate. Step 4. Insert the sticks halfway into the cake balls. If you dip the sticks in melted chocolate first, they'll stay in better. Step 5. Freeze the cake pops for 20 minutes. Step 6. Dip the cake balls into the melted chocolate until they are completely covered. Wait for the chocolate to harden and then enjoy. Scripture Power. Make a case for your scriptures. Cut the top half off a large cereal box, then cover it with patterned paper or magazine cutouts. Tape it all around with clear packing tape to keep it secure. Then punch two holes spaced evenly apart in each long side. Use a ribbon or a strip of cloth to make handles for each side. End of the article, Snacks and Crafts. Read by Enzo Patello.
Safe Ground by Kelly Robinson and Marissa Wittison, based on a true story. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1.
Wow! The dirt is orange!
My sister pointed to the crusty ground by the boardwalk we were standing on. A few feet away, an oval pool seemed to glow yellow and blue. Where do the colors come from? I asked Dad as he stopped to take a picture. He handed me a pamphlet from the ranger station.
I think it talks about it in there.
The pamphlet told about the history of Yellowstone National Park. It also had a map of where we were. Then I saw a section about geothermal pools. Whoa! The colors are caused by bacteria, I told Dad. I wouldn't have guessed that. I started imagining what the bacteria looked like. I wished I could take some water to look at under a microscope, or at least touch it to see if it felt weird. I guess my sister had a similar idea, because pretty soon she tugged on Mom's shirt.
Mama, I want to touch it, please!
Mom and Dad gave each other a look, one of those talk without saying anything looks, and pulled my sisters and me to the side of the boardwalk.
Remember what we talked about before we got out of the car?
Mom said. She didn't even wait for us to answer.
Don't touch anything off the boardwalk.
But why? The words popped out of my mouth before I could stop them. Instead of just saying, because I said so, like he sometimes does, Dad paused for a second and pointed to a sign nearby. It said, dangerous ground.
The water might look nice and cool, but it's actually very, very hot. If you touched it, you'd get badly burned. There's even super hot water just under the orange dirt there. But we can enjoy it all safely from the path.
Dad pointed out that the sign was written in lots of different languages.
The warning is so important that they wanted to make sure everyone could understand it. They want everyone to stay on safe ground.
I nodded, and even my little sister seemed to understand. We kept walking along the boardwalk, listening to the steam hiss around us. Before, I had mostly been thinking about how awesome the scenery was. Now I was also watching my sisters and making sure they were safe. After a while, we saw a geyser shoot into the air. I loved watching the wind blow the water droplets across the colorful ground. Finally, it was time to head back to the car. Mom walked up beside me and put her arm around my shoulders.
You know, the boardwalk is kind of like the commandments.
What do you mean? I asked.
Well, Heavenly Father gave us a beautiful world to live in, and He gave us commandments to help us make safe and happy choices. He really loves us, and He wants us to have a wonderful experience here on Earth.
I thought about that for a bit as we passed the blue and yellow pool of water again. So, I guess wanting to touch the water is kind of like temptation? Mom nodded.
I think so. It's easy to think that the pools of water won't hurt us, that we'll have more fun if we leave the gospel path. But that's just not true. Listening to the prophets and following the commandments is like staying on the boardwalk. It helps us make good choices and enjoy our lives.
Before I climbed into our van, I took one last look back at the boardwalk and made myself a promise. I was going to stay on safe ground, no matter what. The authors live in Oregon and Utah, USA.
Sidebar, our safety, our peace, lies in working as hard as we can to live as a father and son would have us live. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, Beware of False Prophets and False Teachers, Ensign, November 1999, page 64. End of the story, Safe Ground, read by Maya Reinwand, Ben Cummins, Natalie Moore, and Shannon Nelson.
A Quiet Warning, a True Story Written by You, by Riken T., age 11, Texas, USA. One night, my dad was at a church meeting. Me, my mom, my three brothers, and my sister decided to go to the track at 8:30 p.m. My brothers and I ran around the track with my sister. We found frogs and heard bats. Eventually, we were tired, so we walked around once more with Mom. Now it was really dark outside, and we could see the stars. Even though the moon and the stars were bright in the night sky, there were still lots of shadows as me and my little brother raced to go through the gate to the car. I was the first one to get to the gate and suddenly had a deep, warm feeling in my heart to look left. There in the shadows, slithering out of the gate into the light, was a big, long snake. He curled up right by our car. I immediately grabbed my brother and ran back to Mom, saying, "There's a big snake right by the gate." We didn't know what kind of snake it was. We called our grandpa to come help, but the snake already slithered away. I am grateful for the warning I received from the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, we might have gotten hurt. I am glad to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. End of the story, A Quiet Warning, read by Scott Moore.
For Parents of Little Ones. Children may not understand the reasons for the rules you give them for taking care of their bodies, why they should wear sunscreen, for example, or why they should eat an apple instead of a cookie, but they do understand love. Here are some ideas for helping them view and care for their bodies lovingly. Teach that the body is a gift from Heavenly Father. Ask what they would do to take care of a special present. Then explain that Heavenly Father has told us how to care for our bodies so we are safe and happy. You might talk about the word of wisdom or going to sleep on time. Teach your children that they need to protect their bodies. Remind them to tell you right away if anyone or anything ever makes them feel uncomfortable during the day. Reassure them that it's okay to say no if they're uncomfortable. You could talk about good touch and bad touch and practice saying no out loud. Talk to them about their body in a positive way. "Hello, fingers. I'm going to cover you up with these mittens so you won't get too cold." Some children came to Earth with extra physical needs. Help your children notice all the things people are able to do, like laughing, smiling, or singing. Talk about how we can all serve others through something as simple as a smile. End of the article for Parents of Little Ones, read by Wes Nelson.
Hi, friends. After church, our family often spends time at the New Zealand Temple. We walk around the temple and go to the visitor center. We love the Sabbath. Jerem S., age 4, Waikato, New Zealand.
I like to show the pictures in the friend to my furry friends. There, Zoe and Gunner.
Ivor W., age 3, Utah, USA.
When my brother and I fight, I sing the primary song, "Jesus Said Love Everyone." It helps me be more like Jesus. Nora P., age 4, Florida, USA.
Another contributor to Hi Friends was Fiona B., age 6, East Flanders, Belgium.
End of the article. Hi Friends, read by Gabriel Reinwand, Gabe Strongen, and Taya Moore. At the Playground by Jennifer Maddie. Emily pumps her legs back and forth. Swoosh! Its wing flies up into the sky. Emily's arms carry her across the bars. Whoosh! She makes it all the way across. Emily's feet hop through hopscotch. Hop, hop, hop. Emily sees a girl sitting by herself. "Come play with me," says Emily. Sophia wheels over. Emily and Sophia use their arms to play with the ball. They use their feet and arms to have a race across the playground. They smile and laugh with their mouths. Emily is happy that she made a new friend at the playground. End of the article. At the Playground, read by Taya Moore.
Your healthy body. Heavenly Father wants us to take care of our bodies and keep them strong and healthy. Take turns pointing to a picture and then doing something to move that part of your body. Try these ideas. Do 5 jumping jacks. Hop on 2 feet.
Hop on one foot. Lift a pillow over your head. End of the article, Your Healthy Body. Read by Margot Botello.
Stories of Jesus. Jesus Taught About Heavenly Father's Love by Kim Webb Reed. One day, people gathered to hear Jesus teach. He told three stories. In the first story, a shepherd left his flock to look for one sheep that was lost. When he found it, he carried it home on his shoulders. He was so happy. In the next story, a woman lost one of her silver coins. She lit a candle, swept the floor, and looked for her coin. When she found it, she celebrated with her friends. In the last story, a son left home. He made bad choices and wasted all his money. He decided to go home and tell his father he was sorry. When the father saw his son coming, he ran to hug him. Jesus told these stories to show how much Heavenly Father loves each person. He is so happy when we repent. When I do something wrong, I can say I'm sorry and pray to Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father is happy when I repent, and so am I. End of the article, Stories of Jesus, Jesus Taught About Heavenly Father's Love by Kim Webb Reed. Read by Wes Nelson.
That's My Brother by Hilary M. Hendricks, based on a true story. The bell rang. The first grade students raced for the door.
Quietly,
Mrs. Mills said. Eric stayed at his desk.
Aren't you going out?
Asked Mrs. Mills. Eric didn't look up.
Recess is fun. Don't you want to play?
Not really,
Eric whispered. Eric didn't like recess. Usually, he just wandered around by himself. The other kids already had lots of friends. One boy called him names. He didn't want Mrs. Mills to know.
I'm sorry, but we have to go outside. I can't leave you here by yourself.
Eric felt like crying. He looked out the window again. He saw someone he knew. Eric smiled and waved.
Who's that?
Mrs. Mills said.
That's my brother, Pete. He's in fourth grade.
Eric ran outside.
Why aren't you playing football?
The older boys always played out on the field.
Because I'm going to the swings with you,
said Pete.
Really?
Pete led the way. They walked past kids hanging on the monkey bars and jumping rope. Eric loved being with his brother. Then they walked by the field where the boys were playing football.
Hey, Pete,
one of the boys said.
Who's the kid with the glasses?
He's my brother, Eric. I'm showing him around today.
So you're not playing with us?
No, today I'm with him.
Eric smiled as they walked to the swings. A kindergarten girl was standing nearby.
Want a swing?
Pete asked. She walked over.
I just lost a tooth,
she said. She showed Eric.
Cool,
said Eric. Eric climbed on one swing. The girl climbed on another. Pete pulled back the first swing and gently let go. Then he pushed the other one. Eric felt the wind on his face. The girl was laughing. Pete made sure the swings didn't go too high.
You can play together again tomorrow,
Pete said.
That would be fun,
the girl said.
Maybe Reese's will be better from now on.
The author lives in Utah, USA.
End of the story, That's My Brother. Read by Salem Tullis, Kate Strongen, Sean Nelson, Asher Hawkins, Matthew Moore, and Ocean Patello.